The global drug maker GlaxoSmithKline has just announced a $1 million prize to kickstart a relatively new area in medicine called electroceuticals or bioelectrical medicine. Doesn't sound like a lot of money, but it is quite significant. If this makes you think of electroshock treatment, you're not far off, but the potential for actually curing people may be a little greater, and that for people with many more different types of illnesses than just in psychiatry. GSK says electroceuticals are its vision for the next 10 to 20 years. It's a move away from traditional drugs, the biological molecules that still dominate treatments today. And it's interesting, not least because it comes at a time when most of the major pharmaceuticals firms have been saying that drugs development, especially in the field of neurodegenerative illnesses, is too risky and too expensive for them to make a profit. So is this a new attempt to crack an old problem? And just what are electroceuticals? I asked Christopher Pham, the Vice President for bioelectronic research and development at GSK.
We think that the time has come when we can, with quite some precision, use electrical impulses to treat disease, to tap into the body's wiring of nerves that crisscross the body and control various organs, various functions, and ultimately therefore control various disease states. Up until this point, we have known that the nervous system has played that role, but the sort of the building blocks haven't quite been there to, in real time, modulate the signals that flow through that system. Now the technology is starting to be there, the biological understanding is starting to be there, but it's time to sort of put those pieces together and show that you can read those signals right into that system and treat disease.
So tell us in just a little bit more detail, what are electroceuticals or bioelectronic medicines? What are we actually talking about? What's happening?
Yeah, so we're talking about microscopic devices, if you will, that will connect to neural circuits, nerves, and with high precision change the signals that flow through those nerves and control individual organs or different biological functions. So, for example, you would have signals that flow to your spleen that controls the amount of inflammatory mediators that flow through the body. You would have signals that flow to your lungs that determine how tense your airways will be and therefore whether you have easy breathing or asthma. And the list goes on and on. There are all these signals that control various balances in your body.
You mentioned some of the areas of use, which illnesses, diseases we could be using electroceuticals. I'm wondering, though, how do electroceuticals differ from, let's say, traditional drugs or even electronics in a heart pacemaker or even, let's say, electroshock treatment? I mean, how can we differ?
Yeah, so let me start with how it differs from molecular medicines, so the sort of the normal medicines of today. Normal medicines of today are very specific in that they target specific molecular targets. But what happens typically is that they distribute throughout the body, so they have a systemic effect. And they're quite hard to calibrate. I mean, you need to take one dose, and that's what then your body will have to deal with. Electroceuticals will be different in that they target one specific neural circuit, in one specific intervention point, if you will, and there will change the signals in an adaptive way. So it will read the different states of the signals that are coming in and other signals from the body, and then modulate the neural what's called firing patterns, so the electrical impulses that flow through that point in the nerves. So what to take away from that is it's very specific in space, if you will, just in one point in the body. It's specific in time. It can switch on and off when it sees a disease signal. And it can adapt in a dynamic way to the patient. All those things are different to molecular medicines. And some of those things are also different to the sort of devices that you mentioned. So there are some neurostimulation devices today. Typically, they treat a much larger area of neural tissue, and in that sense is a more blunt. So it shows that electrical impulses work as treatment, but we feel that there's much more that can be gained through getting down to the cellular level where the actual signals are sent.
Well, what you're saying here does seem like to paint the general trend towards very targeted medicines, very targeted treatments. But what of the risks do you know so far? Because, I mean, a lot of people will think of electroshock treatment when they're thinking about having electronics change the way their bodies work.
Well, there are some risks in terms of whether we're going to be successful or not here, right? So will the measurements that we make in various model systems actually translate into treatments? How big difference do you have between patients? Those are some research risks that we will face here over the next few years. Ultimately, we need to be very careful when we go into human testing, just like we need to be with any molecular medicine, to establish first that these things are very safe at low doses, if you will, and then see what effect it has on disease. You are right that we are linking in to the nervous system here, so we need to establish very carefully what effect that has both on the end organ that the signals are sent to and the surrounding neural tissue.
Chris Pham, head of bioelectronic research and development at GlaxoSmithKline, on the line there from London.